Hello and welcome to the show. Before we begin today's episode, I would like to give a warning. And it's tied to the episode that we did yesterday. And this is the warning I want to give. I am a layman when it comes to fintechs and all things tech and startup related. So take that on board when we discuss some of these ideas, that I'm coming at some of these things from a sales and business development perspective. The advantage that sales as a discipline has over other sales is that to be involved in sales, we have to be multifaceted, and the sales functions allows you to pick up skills that are useful in other business departments and in other industries. So that is the reason why someone like me, who is interested in business process, can give opinions on other industries and other sectors. So I do not have a tech background or none of that stuff. So when it comes to discussing the technical particulars in this episode, or if I said anything that had technical ramifications in the previous episode, just take that on board. However, all the things that I say regarding sales and business process and business practice are valid. And with that, let us move into the show. Now that that caveat is out of the way. Let's see. Okay, one more thing. I'd like to give a shout out to podcast listener. His name is Odafe Omo Emevo. I hope I'm pronouncing that name properly. He connected with me on LinkedIn yesterday. He's a sales manager with Glow, if I remember correctly. I accepted it. And of course, I asked him if he has any questions, just like I will for the rest of you who reach out to me. So I love hearing from you guys. So connect WhatsApp, connect LinkedIn, any socials. I'll give my details at the end of the show. So today I would like us to look at the typical advice that people get in Nigeria for starting your fintech. So if you're listening to Nigerian tech blogs, podcasts. If you're reading Nigerian tech blogs, listening to Nigerian tech podcasts and those sorts of things, this is the typical advice that you're going to get on how to start your fintech in Nigeria, because the current series that we're on is how you can use your sales and good sales and business development frameworks, practice and principles to inform starting up your fintech so that your fintech will actually succeed. Because one thing I failed to mention yesterday was, as much as we see that lots of boys and girls are in the news these days, you know, you raise 5M, you raise 10M, you raise 20M dollars, you know, to start your fintech, there's also the sad news that we hear once in a while, maybe once a month or maybe every other month. This fintech died because of this. This fintech stalled because of that, and blah, 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 blah. So this is how to make sure that you start your fintech idea and that your chances for succeeding go up. So that is what I'm devoting this podcast episode, yesterday's podcast episode, and the next ones that will follow. I can't say how many, maybe four or five, on making sure that we can use good sales and business development practice to make sure that your fintech succeeds. So the typical advice that you're going to get that is out there is that, number one, you should start by identifying a financial service gap. So you look at the whole ecosystem that you want to tackle, whether it's in transfers or payments or what else, data management, you know, all these sorts of things. Look at it, see where you think that there's a gap, and then develop your value proposition. Then after that, craft a business model. So that is what most Nigerians say you should do first when you want to start your fintech. And that makes a lot of sense, because yes, you have to get very clear on what your concept is before you begin. It's not attractive to try and talk to potential employees or potential investors or stakeholders in the space, and you're saying, we've noticed this, we can sort of do this, we can sort of do that. It'll be nice for you to absolutely be clear to say that, given this framework in trying to achieve 1, 2, 3, and 4, 5, 6, we have noticed that there's a gap here. And because of that, this is the idea, this is the app, this is the technology that we propose to solve the problem, and is going to solve these gaps in 4, 5, 6, and 1, 2, 3. And to do that, the business model that we're going to use is, we're going to use this and this and this. Our marketing channels are going to be blah, blah, blah. And, you know, you get the whole picture. So it's much more attractive when you sit down in front of future business partners or investors, and you're able to clearly articulate what the idea is, what the concept is. So yes, I'll agree with the typical advice that you see out there on the blogs, on the podcasts, on the websites, that if you want to start a fintech, identify the gap in the financial service or the framework or whatever, develop a value proposition, craft a business model. With that, I say I agree. Then the next thing you would hear typically is pundits would like to say the next thing you have to do is to understand the regulatory framework. Now, this is what that means for those of us who don't have to play with the big boys and the big girls. I started off my business journey as a wedding photographer. When you're starting off as a wedding photographer or as an event planner, you're typically not worried about regulatory frameworks. Well, you should, because data protection is something that applies to all businesses in Nigeria. But typically, as a wedding photographer, the only people that you're worried about really, at least in Abuja anyway, is AMAC. AMAC is the Abuja Municipal Area Council. Those are the people who show up to your house to say you put an advertisement outside, you put a sign outside, because of that you owe us 300K, and then you guys start quarreling. They want to padlock your house, they want to take down the signboard, you know, blah, blah, blah. So that's the reason why lots of businesses in Abuja are running businesses out of residential houses without putting any signs up and all on. It's because everybody is trying to run away from AMAC. Because unfortunately, well, I'm not saying that what people do is right, but when it comes to enforcement, it's basically just touts running around with clubs, and who wants that kind of attention? So I'm not endorsing people breaking the law by starting business in residential frameworks. In fact, sorry, in residential, residential areas. Because those of you been listening to the show from the get, you know how it gets around festivities, because my neighbor runs a commercial kitchen, even though this is a residential area. So you guys know how I'm trying to record a podcast and then you have cows mooing in the background because it's Salah or whatever, and then there are tons of cows all over the place. So anyway, what I'm just trying to say is, for most other business people, there's a regulatory framework that they have to deal with that some of us who started out as wedding photographers, or maybe carpenters, or maybe tailors, or maybe you sell, you're starting a fish pond at your backyard. So there are lots of regulatory frameworks that other people have to deal with that we don't have to deal with. So for people in the fintech space, you're probably going to have to call up CBN, do some inquiries. Does CBN, that's the Central Bank of Nigeria, do they regulate in any way the kind of activities that you want to do? You probably have to reach out to the SEC, that's the Securities and Exchange Commission. Do they in any way regulate what it is that you want to do? You might have to put one or two phone calls through, or go and visit somebody in the Ministry of Finance. Maybe your cousin works there. You go and ask your cousin or your sister-in-law or whatever. Ask a few questions. Ministry of Finance, do they regulate in any way the things that we're supposed to do? So if you start off with a very common sense approach to it, like, okay, this is what I want to do, maybe we should look at CBN, SEC, Finance. By the time you start having conversations with other people, you know, your uncle, your father, your wife, your brother-in-law, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, by the time you start asking people what's up, you will get a sense of which other stakeholders you need to be talking to and what other regulatory frameworks that you have to comply with. So that second stage that people say you should do when you want to start your fintech. Sorry, excuse me. Sorry, forgive me about that. The usual. My son had a, inflamed tonsils. And as usual, I'm the only person in the house who catches these things. I don't know why. So, yeah, he has passed it on to me. And that's what I'm struggling with at the moment. Okay, so where were we? Yes, so for all the people who are saying understand the regulatory framework, yeah, I agree with that and I endorse that bit of advice. So sit down, you and your co-founders, try and understand what's the regulatory framework that you're going to deal with. Flowing out from that, there's going to be some licensing that is going to be involved, because when it comes to fintechs, remember, we're talking about financial services. You're going to be handling people's money. And I guess that's the reason why lots of people are trying to start fintechs in Nigeria. Because when it's fintech, we don't hear small money. You know, as a wedding photographer, when you're collecting your pay, if you get like 400K, 500K, you know, you go and give testimony and you pay your tithes, because that's good money. But these fintech boys, everybody's talking million, 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 billion, billion, million, and billions. So, you know, as in big, big money. So when it comes to that kind of money, know-how, licensing is involved. So if CBN and SEC have regulatory purview, you're going to have to pay your fees, you're going to have to get your licenses from CBN, Central Bank of Nigeria, and from the Securities Exchange Commission. You might also have to look at NCC, that is the Nigerian Communications Commission, you know, depending on what it is that you have to do. So for people who give that kind of advice on the blogs and on the podcasts, I agree and I endorse. You have to look into licensing. Then another thing that fintech boys and fintech girls need to look into is to choose the business structure. The reason why I'm bringing this up is because everybody just assumes that you have to go big and do the Anyway, you get the point. Everybody assumes that you need to go to CAC and have a formal corporation made. But actually, there are different business models that are out there in the market. There are some people who run fintechs and do a sole proprietor. Okay, well, I haven't heard of sole proprietor, but I have seen, theoretically, that it is an option. There are some people who do partnership. Not everybody does, you know, that big public company, a limited liability company, basically. Now, an example is Remita. As far as I know, Remita is not a public company limited by shares. Okay, well, actually, I should have checked that. Maybe Remita is not a good example. But anyway, maybe you guys can go and do the research, but you'll get what I'm trying to pass across. It is not every single person in the fintech space or who has this kind of ideas that runs a corporation, a limited liability corporation. They can be different things. They can be partnerships. They can have different legal structures. So check and choose accordingly. So I endorse that stage. You guys need to do your research before you set up your fintech. Then people also say you should register with the CAC. I mean, that's just common sense because you can't do business without registering. I mean, you can, but then there's issues of liability, liability, asset protection, different sorts of things that are involved. If you have a lawyer or if your younger brother or younger sister has finished law school, you know, talk to them accordingly and they'll put you through on a couple of things. I'm not saying that you should rely on those people's advice, but I'm just saying that in the beginning, when you're doing all this small research, it's not bad to ask people that you have easy reach and easy access to. Then another stage that people would recommend is that you choose your technology stack. What tech stack means, I know people like saying that a lot, tech stack. But basically what that just means is choose the infrastructure or choose the platform, choose something that you're going to build this technology on top of. So is it going to be mobile? Is it going to be payment systems, or is it going to be a data management thing? You know, I've already referred to these sorts of things before. So like OPAYDEM, I mentioned them in a previous episode. They're a payment processing company. So for them, that's the tech stack basically. So payments and then the things that are involved. Mobile phone, because you have to develop an app. And then POS, yeah, the thing that you swipe your card on, POS. So you choose. So yeah, of course, I endorse that is also something that you should be doing if you're going to start your fintech. Then, of course, back to what we said earlier about regulations and all that, you know, there's going to be plenty of security stuff that you have to comply with and you have to research, because there's the one. This is why I gave the caveat earlier, in case I'm giving you guys wrong information or if I'm telling you guys to comply with the wrong things, but the spirit of what it is that I'm trying to say is correct. So I think there's something, I think it's PCI DSS, I think. That is the Payment Card Industry Data Security Standard, if I did my research correctly. If I got it wrong, you technical guys, I beg, no vex. But the spirit of what I'm saying is correct. There's also going to be Nigerian data regulations, data protection that you have to comply with, consumer protection that you have to comply with, all these sorts of things. So I endorse this part of the process as well, because this is finance. You're going to be dealing with lots of people's money. Sorry, one moment. Okay, I'm back. Sorry about that. I had to go and attend to the boys because they were just acting, acting a fool, basically. Notice what some of... maybe that's too harsh. But anyway, it's just part of the deal. I mean, for those of us who have young kids, especially exuberant boys. But anyway, I can't blame them. It's not like back in the day when we were growing up, space in the family compound, you go and climb trees, you ride your bike, that kind of thing. So with children being closed up... that shouldn't be you guys' problem. So, where was I? I was on security and compliance regulations. Then the next step that people would recommend for setting up your fintech would be that you assemble your team and get some expertise around you. Of course, they would say get people who have fintech skills, people who have tech development skills, our own web developers and app people and, all that jazz. Then business development skills, that's where people like me come in. And then, of course, people with legal expertise, because all these compliance that we've been talking about, data protection, payment protection, what else? CBN, this, SEC, that, or whatnot. That's what you need legal people for. So, of course, I endorse this part of the process. Then people now recommend that you should secure funding, which is you talk to angels or VCs. Some people wonder, what's the difference, angel or VC? They're essentially the same thing, but with this key difference. Now, the key difference is this. Currently, as at the state of business practice or things, global and Nigeria, it looks like angels are mostly solo individuals, but then VCs, the way that they operate is something similar to what... like in the UK, they would say private equity banking, more or less. So it's much more formal, official, but the idea is the same. The angel or the VC is giving you money to start this business. They want a return on the money. Typically, they're looking for equity. I want a share in your business, blah, blah, blah. So, it's just that, VC, more buttoned up, more formal. Angels tend to be a bit more relaxed, maybe people doing this thing solo. So if you're one of those people who is lucky to come from a family where your uncle is a billionaire or something, so Uncle Sule, that's him, he's an angel. But then if you go and meet, let's say, Tony Elumelu and Dangote and what's the other guy's name, Otedola, and a bunch of them, let's say they put together something to invest in specific vehicles and blah, blah, blah. That is going to be a much more formal process than dealing with Uncle Sule, who is your the billionaire from your family or from your village. Then some people also say crowdfunding. But then I wonder, crowdfunding to get money for your fintech in Niger? I'm not quite sure. But anyway, I haven't done the research. But for those of you who are in this space, and that is the reason why I was giving caveats in the beginning, if it's something that people do and has been successfully done, and there's a legal framework that surrounds the whole thing, then when you connect with me on WhatsApp or on LinkedIn, please let me know so that I can take dressing and address that accordingly on future episodes of the podcast. So what I have said so far about securing funding, assembling a team, the regulations that you have to comply with, what else, registering with CAC, choosing your tech stack, choosing a business structure, licensing with CBN, SEC, NCC, or any other stakeholders, getting clear on the concept, those are steps that make a lot of sense and I wholeheartedly endorse. But there is a problem with this script that people, this popular script that is on the podcast and that is on the blogs. And this is the downfall of the script. You will find that when most people are talking about these things, you won't see any stage that usually involves some form of a hypothesis test or some qualitative research before you incorporate and all these sorts of things. In my own opinion, I think that that is the primary reason why Nigerian fintech startups are failing, because they are not getting product market fit. They will say that the reason why they failed is lack of funding. But in my own opinion, they failed because there was lack of product market fit. Product market fit or market validation is that stage where you're trying to answer, is there demand for this idea or for this product? Do people even want this thing that we want to start? So you go, you talk to investors, it makes sense on paper, you raise a bunch of money, but then at the end of the day, people don't really want it, or the problem you're trying to solve, people don't think is a big problem, you know, all those sorts of things. And that is the beauty of where we sales and business development people come in. Because the very act of running sales motions, going out and talking to people, doing all the qualitative research, as they call it, you know, quantitative is all the stuff that you do. The market size is this, on paper, somebody reported this, somebody reported that. That's a quantitative. Yes, that's quantitative. Then the qualitative is what we salespeople do. We're going out, we're talking to people, we're having conversations, we're trying to figure out what people's needs are, if there's a problem, how bad the problem is, those sorts of things. That is the reason, that is one of the downfalls of this popular script. Business development people, people with sales expertise, are not brought in early in the process. Then you will now say that this startup failed because they were not able to secure funding to move to the next stage. The reason why investors will not give you money to move to the next stage, well, it's complicated because there are macroeconomic factors that are involved. If it looks like the Nigerian economy is going to shite, then maybe people might want to spend their money elsewhere, invest in some other place, maybe South Africa, or they take their money back home to New York or Netherlands or wherever they're coming from. So yeah, those things happen. But I think the primary reason would be that the investors will look and say, okay, these boys and girls, yes, they raised 2M, they raised 5M. This 5M that they used, what did they use this thing for? This 5M, does it look like there's a way forward? It doesn't look like there's a way forward. There's no point in me dropping any more money. So I think it's because there's very little emphasis on the whole thing of testing your hypothesis and doing qualitative research and going out and talking to a bunch of folks. Do you have this problem? Is this a problem worth solving? If we could solve this kind of problem, how much would you be willing to pay? We are working on so and so. When we're able to solve it, would you be willing to come on board as our first customer? These are conversations that you guys need to be having before you start this fintech. So if you guys in the fancy tech space start involving sales and business development people early in the process and start having these sorts of conversations, the chances of having a successful fintech on the back end go up because you're testing your hypothesis, you're validating the idea, you're giving good signs that if you go ahead, there will be some form of product market fit. So that is the big downfall with all these models that you see out there. Get business development support before you incorporate, before you raise funds, blah, blah, blah. In fact, before you raise funds, because the salespeople's expertise, salespeople, well, with our expertise ties in directly with all these sorts of things. Fundraising, stakeholder management, stakeholder relations, you know, all these sorts of things. So that is just the downfall with the popular script. Everything you see on the blogs and you hear on the podcast, it makes sense. Follow. But just shocking that part of involving sales and business expertise as early as possible from the beginning to make sure that you validate this business idea. This is what is going to make it easier for you to achieve product market fit in the future. And if you're one of these boys and girls who's been raising 2M, 5M, 10M dollars to start your business, that is how you're going to be able to get the next batch of 10M, 20M, 30M dollars, you know, for your business to grow. So I am not convinced, but then again, you know, I don't know how to read complex. Well, for me, it seemed complex anyway. You know, when you look at people's, cash statements and blah, blah, blah. I don't know how to read all that jazz. So maybe there's some element of truth to this whole thing of we ran out of money. That's why the fintech failed. But I really, really think it is my strong suspicion that is because you are not able to question a hypothesis. You are not able to validate the business idea, poor product market fit. So you have all this money. You think this is a problem. But at the end of the day, it's a problem, yeah. But it's not a problem people are willing to pay for. Or there's a bigger problem that you guys did not anticipate. So thank you very much for your time and attention. Remember to connect with me on WhatsApp or LinkedIn. On WhatsApp, the phone number is 080-6466-2140. The country code is +234. For LinkedIn, you can confirm the spelling of my name from the link where you're currently listening to this episode. So hit me up on socials. I spend most of my time on LinkedIn. If you send it to me on, Threads or Instagram. Yeah, I'll get back to you, but maybe that might be next week. So thanks for your time and attention. I'll catch you on tomorrow's episode where we're going to start delving into the challenges with selling your fintech ideas.